to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey everybody, welcome back. We're finishing off the 31-30 for the Central Division today with the Chicago Blackhawks. This is the Puck Guys. I'm here alongside Eddie and Jay. How you guys doing?
Howdy.
How sweet it is to sit here and talk about the Chicago Blackhawks just being an awful team. About time we can finally, we don't have to talk about them possibly winning the division in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. I did read a review that said that they had them poised for a division spot, which made me laugh.
Oh my gosh.
From Chicago?
Yeah.
The Tribune. It's like they're writers. Yeah.
That's wishful thinking. Media.
It was the NHL, NHL.com writers.
Was he writing a Players Tribune article?
He added himself and his children as the 101st, 102nd, 103rd best player in the league. So
was it the fat dudes from that old SNL skit? I mean, the Chicago guys, the Bears, the Blackhawks.
Oh, Jesus, Chris Farley.
Yeah.
All right. So as you guys all probably know, you don't have to be a Ducks fan like us to not like this team. There are some great players in this team that I'd love to have on the Ducks, clearly. And I'm sure everyone across the league sees some of these guys and like, man, they're kind of jealous of them. But the Blackhawks last season were anything but good. They finished the season 33-39-10 for 76 points. They had a lot of roster turnover, but they brought in some really questionable people, I feel like. I mean, bringing in guys like Cam Ward to back up Corey Crawford, Chris Kunitz, who just likes to win Stanley Cups. Maybe he's the charm there. But I didn't really see anybody else other than maybe Marcus Kruger of note that was being put on this team. As we all know, Marian Hossa retired because of a skin condition that curiously happened when his payments on his salary went to $1 million. So that was the big drop off there. But enough of me talking. Eddie, how do you see your favorite team in the Central Division filling out the rest of the season?
I've never coined them as my favorite team, but it's going to be bad. I mean, we've talked about pretty much, I think, every team having a legitimate shot at making the playoffs so far. And the complete opposite of what we saw in the Atlantic Division, where there was four teams, you're like, yeah, these teams are awful. This is the only team you know for sure they aren't going to make the playoffs. They're just not good enough at any position. If you start a net, Corey Crawford is good enough on his own, but we have no idea if he's even going to be ready for the start of the season and what kind of injury issues he's going to maybe suffer as a result of the concussion throughout the rest of the year. And then you look at Cam Ward as potentially being the starter with Anton Forsberg as the backup. Not good enough at all. And a 50% Corey Crawford is something you don't want to have to risk when you might need him down the road. And then, you know, you still have Taves and Kane, and DeBrincat is an up-and-coming young player who could hit 50, 60 points. Brendan Saad is looking for a rebound. Nick Schmaltz is a good player. So, I mean, the top six is still pretty good, but this, the rest of this team isn't. I mean, Anisimov is your third-line center. You've got some young guys who might play with him. Marcus Kruger's back for what seems to be like the 100th time back with the Chicago Blackhawks. And then you've got Keith and Seabrook, and that's it. And then the rest of the defensemen are some guys they brought in, and Brandon Manning, or some young guys they have coming up. So there's not a lot of optimism, but really, Chicago fans shouldn't be that upset. I mean, look at the amount of Stanley Cups they won when they were good, and the amount of times they were able to fight off that roster turnover and be competitive. We knew this was going to eventually happen. It's great for everybody who's not a Chicago fan, but at least they can sit there and say, hey, look what we did when we were good.
Yeah, exactly. You look at what Chicago's point total was last year, 76. You got to think you got to hit fairly close to, you know, 20 more points than that, probably even a little bit more given the teams that are in front of them. I just don't see who they brought in, how they're going to make up those extra 20 points. Kane would have to play out of his mind. He's already kind of the leader of that team with 76 points. After that, it drops off 52 points for the next three guys, including Taves in there. And Saad only 35 points after coming over, making such a big hoopla of him coming over and, you know, say goodbye to Panarin. Saad's going to come in and do exactly what Panarin did. And we didn't see that. It's a drop off. Hopefully he comes back and does something a little bit better. But yeah, it comes down to this team in recent years has really kind of followed what Corey Crawford does. And if he's not either at his top game, which he almost always is, he's very underrated in that, or he's injured, this team just starts to fall apart. And he's coming off a concussion where they thought he would be back a lot sooner than he already was. He's out doing some practices, but no high shots on him, no contacts, no in-game real situations. They're keeping shots low on him, but he's progressing a little bit. So that's at least a little bit of a hint that he might be coming around. But concussions are a funny thing, and you don't quite know exactly how they're going to play out. So you look at this lineup, you know, even adding Chris Kunitz in there, you look at it and you go, wow, this team looks great if it was 4 years ago. But
that's
right
the
now,
key.
It's not. And bringing in Kunitz and bringing in Kruger, I mean, you could say, well, they've won cups. Most of this lineup has. I mean, all the significant players have won all these cups with Chicago. So bringing those guys in doesn't really fill any void, and they aren't really good. They're not going to bring a whole lot to the table that's going to improve this team. So you're just looking at the same team, and you hope you get a little bit better out of some of them. But just being a little bit better and still having a goalie that's not quite there yet, you're not going to make up those 20 some odd points. It's just not going to happen.
They don't have the talent to do it this year. And you know what? This is the price you pay when you win a bunch of cups. So, I mean, you can't really feel bad for the fan base or the team or anybody. You're going into rebuild mode.
I feel bad.
How can you? I mean, I can't feel that pain at all. I laughed hysterically and about shit my pants when I saw they signed Cam Ward to a contract. That blew me away. It's unreal. And then, of course, they bring back Marcus Kruger because that's the most hated guy in 2015. If you're a Ducks fan, that bastard scored the 3-2, a triple overtime winner to sink Anaheim. But now he's back on this team. But good for him. He's not going to make the playoffs. The only guy that I really like on this team that I think is outstanding is what's his name? I really like anybody on this team. But if I had to pick, I would definitely say Corey Crawford. I think he's extremely underrated. And it is really too bad he's going through concussion issues. But I don't think he can save this team either. This team is probably going to finish in the same place that they finished last season. And that's, you know, bottom five in the league. They do have a bit of secondary players. I feel like that are going to be good. I mean, Nick Schmaltz is a good young player. Alex DeBrincat's a good young player. His nickname, by the way, is Kitty. Did you guys know that? Yeah. DeBrincat's no. name is Kitty. I guess someone asked Jonathan Toews of, you know, how do you like playing along with DeBrincat? And he's like, who? And like, DeBrincat. Oh, no, we call him Kitty. It's like, what?
Did you not get it?
No, that's I didn't. So it's just like, what? Kitty? Just made me laugh.
Just hadn't heard of it. Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like this is just their time coming. They went for it. They won three cups. They dominated, and now they're gonna have to put up with Cam Ward and fucking that, which makes me laugh. So sorry, Chicago.
Yeah, they don't have a whole lot of room to really even move any of these contracts out. I mean, Kane and Toews, they're another 5 years at $10.5 million, no move contract. Anisimov, a modified, no trade. Chris Kunitz is a no move clause, so I mean, he can't move. And then you look at their top two aging defensemen, Seabrook, age 33, for another 6 years, no move clause. Dunk and Keith, 35, 5 years, no move clause. I mean, they screwed themselves over a lot. Even Cam Ward, they gave a 1 year no move clause, so they're not even going to trade him. So it's just, it's insane. They're in trouble.
Yeah, and you know, for them, it's not even about a retool as much as it is a complete rebuild, because by the time they're even drafted enough players and brought enough guys into the lineup to be somewhat competitive, you're looking at Duncan Keith and Seabrook, their top two defensemen, being probably around, what, 38? Or at least Keith will be 38 in the next 3 years. Seabrook will be 36, 37. So it is a rebuild for them. They got top pick in the top 10 this year. They got Adam Bockfist to kind of retool that blue line. That's a good piece for them to really start with. It's a modern-day defenseman. Was likened to Erik Karlsson at the draft. And it's a tall task to really say a guy's going to be anything close to Erik Karlsson, but he has that same play style. And then, of course, building around Alex DeBrincat and Nick Schmaltz and Dylan Sakura, who will be coming over from the NCAA this year. They've got some pieces in place, but by the time they're even going to be ready to maybe try and push for the playoffs again, a lot of their core pieces are going to be old. So this could be a long rebuild for Chicago. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. Because remember the last time, before they were so good and considered a dynasty team, they were awful for a number of years. So it'll be interesting to see how this fan base sticks around and deals with it. They get a lot of flack for being a glory hunters when the Blackhawks were winning. you know, it's been one bad season. Let's see how they are in 3 years from now when they still probably most likely haven't made the playoffs when you look at how other teams are trending around them.
Yeah, I think the only hope they have as far as getting out of these contracts is if some of these guys end up retiring, you know, early or earlier than their contracts give up, you know, and say, hey, do it for us. We win some cups together. You know, could you do me a solid and just quit? But I mean, I don't know. I mean, you want maybe Duncan Keith to do it, maybe at this point, it being at 35. But you've had him for such a low amount of money for so long already.
He's got five more freaking years on that deal.
And I wouldn't, if I were him, I'd be like, listen, you guys got me at a bargain far earlier, and that's what kind of helped make this happen. I'm not getting rid of this money, so I'm gonna stick around. So I can't see too many of these guys, maybe you know, doing it, you know. The doing the organization one last favor and foregoing all this money that they're kind of handing out now.
They don't really have honestly, right? I mean, you really don't have to. Like, well, who do they have to re-sign in the next few years? Like, maybe DeBrincat, but I don't think he's going to be able to demand enough money that it's going to make them worry. Neither is Nick Schmaltz. And that's really it. Those are the big guys they have to re-sign in the upcoming years. DeBrincat is not this season, but the end of next season. Nick Schmaltz, the end of this season, who's an RFA. And that's it. That's really all they have to re-sign. So you don't really have to ask these guys to do anything, because Adam Bockfist, who they just, I believe, signed this offseason after drafting, he has 3 years to go. He'll be 2021 by the time they would have to sign him to a contract. At the end of his ELC, he would have to be putting up 50, 60 points a year for it to them to even worry them having to sign him to a long-term contract. If you consider maybe a bridge deal and whoever else they bring in, they really shouldn't have any issues. Maybe closer near the last year or maybe the last 2 years of Keith or Seabrook's contracts, but I can't see it being an issue. They really won't be good until probably Kane and Taves' contracts expire, and then they won't have to worry about anything.
Well, thank God you guys won't be seeing them on national TV, right? I mean, they're only playing 19 games on national TV this season. They're going to be a great team, right? I mean, that's what happens when you win a bunch of cups still, right? And you're in a big market. It's just that's what happens. I mean, you're going to be put to the forefront. But still, it's like, really? I don't want to watch a game where they're going to get blasted 19 times on national TV. It's kind of a joke.
The only way that makes it really good, and I feel every other team, home team, should adopt this when they're playing Chicago, is after every win or after every one of the home team's goals, they should play that Chicago goal song just so they can get that same na 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 na, or however it goes, just blasting at the Chicago players, kind of like remember this?
Dude, I don't know. That song is like haunting. It's the worst. It is.
I know,
the
but
worst.
Now you get to use it as a weapon against the team that was using it against you.
What are they gonna say? They're gonna be like, "Oh, remember this," and then they're gonna hold up the Stanley Cup rings and be like, "Remember these?" So
I would just do it maybe after every win. Just like, there's another loss on your belt.
So when it comes to the three questions on this team, to be honest with you guys, I was really hard pressed to find ones that made a lot of sense, because this team is just kind of destined for the bottom of the barrel. But I guess the one thing that I can ask is, are they even remotely a wild card team? Are we really talking about a team that's going to finish in the bottom of the division? No, we all joke about it, but where are they going to sit?
They're bottom of the division. There's no question about it. I mean, the team we had as six, or I think for most of us, we had Minnesota and Colorado as the two teams finishing around fifth or sixth. And they're way better than this team. They've got a lot more things going for them. They're a 76-point team probably again, something around that. I think at max, maybe with a healthy Corey Crawford, they could hit like 80, 85. But that's even stretching it. They haven't really done anything to this roster to make them better. If anything, they've gotten worse. So, yeah, I don't know. There's too many things that would have to go right to make them a wild card team. Dylan Sakura, who they just got out of the NCAA, would have to be a 40, 50-point guy in his first season and be able to jump in. Brandon Saad would have to get what they wanted from him, being a 60-point guy. Kane would probably have to hit 90. Kunitz would have to be like there's too many things that would have to go right. There's no way they're anything but a bottom of the barrel in the Central Division.
Yeah, and if you look at all six of the, you know, the main stats, how are they on offense, defense, shots for, shots against, power play, penalty kill, with the exception of shots for, which they ranked third, which isn't too bad, everything else was bottom third numbers. So they haven't done anything that's going to propel them far out of that. And even if they did, they'd really have to jump on all statistical categories to even get better. And you still have that big question mark on what's going on with Corey Crawford. Concussions and goalies, they do not mix, and they are sometimes very hit or miss if those symptoms come back. And they're not going to do too much to really kind of push him into the lineup at this point until he's 100%. And at that point, you're relying on Cam Ward and Forsberg, and you start slow. I think teams are just going to kind of build up too big of a lead for them to even really kind of fight their way back in, even if Corey Crawford does come back.
Wait, so you're saying there's no Vezina chance for Cam Ward?
Not this year.
I want him to do it just for you. I want him to do it just for you, because at the end of the year, if I get to have a picture of Cam Ward winning with Vezina, it's just I'd like get a poster and hang it on your wall.
I wanted to be there at the table when they were talking about getting a contract with his agent and how like they were able to weasel in a no move clause on a 1 year deal.
Crazy, a $3 million.
Like, are you insane? Like, I get you need a goalie behind Crawford, but you're going to get a guy and then give him a no move? Just mind-boggling to me. It makes me laugh.
They should have got
clearly,
that other.
I love Cam Ward.
Yeah, they should have got that Scott guy from last year. He was the highlight of that team last year. What was his last name?
Poor
forget.
Scott Darling. Foster. Or Scott Foster. There we go. I thought you referred to Crawford's old backup. Yeah. No. The guy missed some pop flies in Carolina last year. Remember that one? Standing up, having his glove up, was right in the top of the net. Brutal. But I have him finishing seventh in the division. I'm sure you guys do too.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we should. I mean, we've went through the whole
season. Yeah.
Well, there you guys have it. That's our end of the Central Division preview, and obviously the Chicago Blackhawks outlook for this upcoming season doesn't look great, but we thank you guys for tuning in to our 31-30. We'll be back with the Pacific Division tomorrow, and you guys will love to hear that, because we love every team in that division, clearly, and we have no favorites, so nothing special waiting for you there. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the Puck Guys Podcast, and please check us out on Patreon.com. That we are reaching out and creating more content. We want to basically make the show bigger and better every season, and we're going to be doing it in a big way there. So check us out at Patreon.com/Puck Guys Forever Mighty. That's all Puck Guys Forever Mighty, all in one little word, I guess you could say, just mixed together.
No spaces.
We have different tiers. It's going to help us be able to bring you guys more giveaways, more watch parties, cool prizes, and be able to interact with us on bonus shows. Some cool stuff on there as well, like a pretty bitchin' puck bottle opener, which you guys can get for signing up for one of the tiers. So go check us out there, give us some support, or just send it to a friend who you think would be interested in that. We love you guys for it, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, guys.